It's the classic American tale of growing up with the manicured lawns and the cars in the driveway and the beaver's perfectly crooked baseball cap. Leave It to Beaver begat All in the Family, begat The Cosby Show, begat Married with Children. The beaver days of sitcoms are long gone in America. Today, that show would seem more like a space alien episode of Outer Limits, another show long gone. But here's some reality that apparently is ready for primetime.
Why do all your shirts have black men on them?
Notorious B.I.G.
You in a B.I.G.?
Yeah, man.
Come sit with us.
Oh, what is it?
It's Chinese food.
Get it out of here. Ying Ming's eating worms.
I need white people lunch.
ABC's new show, Fresh Off the Boat. It's the story of a Taiwanese family moving from Chinatown in Washington, D.C. to open up a steak restaurant in Orlando, Florida. It's loosely based off of celebrity chef Eddie Wong's memoir. The star of Fresh Off the Boat, Hudson Yang. He plays a young Eddie Wong, a preteen who has to front for his embarrassingly traditional family. Eddie is always having to choose between the cool hip-hop world around him, the white people food at McDonald's, and his Asian roots. Also with us is Hudson's dad, Jeff Yang, a columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Welcome, guys.
Well, thank you.
Hi.
Jeff Yang, you're definitely a student of the Asian American experience. Does this show seem to get things right?
This show is actually remarkably authentic. I think, in particular, the scene that involves Eddie bringing for the first time his homemade Chinese food lunch to a lunchroom full of suburban white kids who react less than charitably, shall we say, to the look and smell of it. That's something which actually I remember personally growing up and encountering. And even that phrase, I need white people lunch, I think I actually said that at one point.
What is white people lunch? I guess bologna sandwich, hamburger, pizza.
It's Lunchables.
Lunchables. So great.
Back in the day, yeah, it was anything that could fit into a small box and was covered with plastic. That was white people lunch.
And what did your parents think of Lunchables, Jeff?
They had trouble even comprehending why people would want to eat something like that. I mean, it didn't look much more appealing than the packaging it came in, and yet there's something about that sort of standardization and uniformity. It's almost like assimilation in a box, basically.
You know, a lot of this show is about how kids can be a little, maybe Hudson, embarrassed by their immigrant parents who don't get the world that they see. Your dad's pretty cool, though, huh?
Yeah.
So this isn't an experience that you've necessarily had. Your dad, I mean, he's pretty embarrassing. Let's be real. But he sort of gets America and the world around you, right?
Well, I can understand that because he was born here, and he's always been doing a lot of American things, and well, he's never really been too embarrassing when I'm near my friends. So I guess he's
pretty cool.
You know, Jeff, the stories here are very, very funny, and in many ways they don't reflect the really dark history of Asian American immigration, where in the 1800s Chinese were not permitted to come with families to the United States. The sense of segregation that existed in the early part of the 20th century. It's a very different experience in this generation. Can you describe the sort of long arc of Asian American immigration?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, my own parents came in 1965, and that was the first time that Asians were allowed in essentially large numbers into the United States. Prior to that, there were laws restricting the percentage of immigrants who could come from countries in Asia. And prior to 1965, as a result, if you were Asian in America, you were a second-class citizen. Even through the 60s, obviously, through the Civil Rights era up until the 80s, 90s, and so forth, Asian Americans were such a tiny fraction, such a small minority of the U.S. population, that this notion of being constantly an alien presence, of eternal foreigners, was something that Asian Americans had to deal with on an almost regular basis. And again, growing up myself in the 80s and the 90s, you still had that palpable sense of being presented as different all the time, being asked, what language did you grow up speaking? Where is that from, that food you're eating? That was something that I grew up with. And I do think that what's interesting is Hudson and his generation is really growing up in a world in which the things that made us different and exotic and weird are kind of making them sort of cool and interesting instead.
Hudson, are you aware of that? Is it cool to be Chinese today?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Asian Americans kids now in my school, and it's really cool to be me. I mean...
It is cool to be you.
It's not like I would want to be anybody else.
Is it like a real family, the people in the show?
Yeah, they're really nice to me, and they care about, a lot about each other. So they're like my second family.
And is there something to write about to this experience for you, Jeff?
I think that we are in an incredibly interesting period of time for media in general and television in particular. I think we're looking at an era in which, even just this season, there's more diversity and a greater range of perspectives and faces and voices being represented that look like America than ever before. And for me, obviously, as a writer, it's a little odd, a little through the looking glass to be on the other side of that lens and watching it happen from the inside. But I'm getting a pretty good sense that this year is going to be very interesting, and it's great to have that ringside seat.
In the 94, Margaret Cho's show was a sort of flash in the pan. Do you think this has more of a chance to survive?
Well, when you think about it, back in 1994, there was just around 3% of the U.S. population, a little over 3%, like around 8 million Asian Americans in the United States. And today we're approaching 18 million. That alone, the size of the population and the degree to which we've really, in many ways, emerged as a community – changes the way the show is going to be received, but it also changes the way in which the show is talking. I mean, one thing which is really interesting to me is that this is a show that's set essentially in the era in which All American Girl was coming out. Margaret Cho's show came out in 1994. This show is set around 94, 95. And you can almost feel how much of a period piece it is when you're watching the show. You realize how different we live today from a world in which people would go, ew, what is that, to a bowl of noodles or something. I think that where this show is, it's giving for the first time Asian Americans a chance to be able to laugh with ourselves and not just at ourselves. And that alone, I think, is kind of revolutionary.
Jeff Yang is the father of Hudson Yang, who's the star of the new ABC series Fresh Off the Boat. Congratulations, guys, and thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you're having a conversation about diversity on network television. Here's a tweet from Orla who says, always portraying white Western males in power. One would assume they do a good job and are natural leaders. Wrong on two counts. We'd love to know what you think. Send us a tweet at The Takeaway. More of this conversation on our Facebook page. Special thanks to all our good friends at KQED San Francisco for looking after us. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Reputation.com, encouraging everyone to check their online search results because search results define you or your business. Learn more at Reputation.com. TiVo, able to search cable TV, on-demand libraries, and streaming content from Netflix and Hulu Plus on a single screen. Available at TiVo.com. The Henry Luce Foundation, for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.